Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. Praise the Lord. Everybody, this is the Preacher and the Miracle Man. I'm the Miracle Man. We are live on the air. I am at my usual spot at the McDonald's. I, the Miracle Man, just got done eating a McChicken, a large fry, in the middle of working on a large Coke with no ice in it. Obviously, you can choose how you can customize and choose how you want your Coke to be, whether you want it to have ice, not no ice in it. Maybe you want some Sprite in it. Maybe you want some Dr. Pepper in it. Maybe you want half Coke, half Diet Coke to maybe cut down on the calories. Any place should let you do it, but I know McDonald's will, because one time I actually did that once before a dentist appointment, because I didn't want to take any risk, so I actually half regular and half diet. You know, that to say, folks, the dollar Coke at McDonald's is still going, but there'll be more on that in a bit when I do my spot for them. But nonetheless, I'm at a McDonald's. Preacher Man is just got back to West Branch, is still sitting in his truck. Excuse me. He did dive online live with me just a second ago. And so here we are. And I just told you which location I'm at. So I will now tell you as far as what is on for tonight. First off, what's going to happen is I'm going to read some word. Before that, though, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. Then I'm going to read some word. Then I'm going to exhort on it. Then I'm going to sing a Christmas song tonight. I basically have decided that every show, now that it's after Thanksgiving, every show between now and the 25th of December is going to contain something about Christmas, whether it be a commercial for the McDonald's Christmas pies, those pies with the custard in them, whether it be a teaching that I do, whether it be a poem I read, could be a song I sing, and possibly talk about. I'm still thinking in my mind right now about what it's going to be tonight. I think it's going to be, I have now decided what it's going to be. You folks won't know what it's going to be until I sing it. But it's going to be good song for tonight, nonetheless. I will say this much. We're going to be rocking a little bit. So, anyhow, we are on the air. We're so glad to have you. Just a couple brief things. First off, you've obviously found us here online on Blog Talk Radio. And here's something you can do. You can go to blogtalkradio.com. You can hit that like button or sign up button or notify me button every time we're going to do a show. But the channel is, you'll go to blogtalkradio.com. You can search Upfront Entertainment. Upfront Entertainment. And then you'll see the Preacher and the Miracle Man show. That's us and the Miracle Man. And then my producer, Sam Cottle, he's the preacher man. Was a great pastor for quite a few years in West Branch. So he's the preacher man. And the Miracle Man, I've told you some of my miracle stories. As time goes on, I'll continue to talk about them. But that's just a little bit about who we are. Now, so the Preacher and the Miracle Man, you search, go to blogtalkradio.com, you type in under that search bar, Upfront Entertainment, click on the Upfront Entertainment thing, you'll see the Preacher and the Miracle Man. Then you can hit that follow button, and what will happen is that will allow you to know when we have our show scheduled. For example, tonight, 4:30. It's like 4:37 or something now. But, you know, right now we're doing a show. Tomorrow when we do our show, a few minutes before, you'll get that notification. Show starts in 5 minutes or whatever. Wednesday, we'll do a show. Same thing will happen. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, same thing will happen. And so on from there. That's the way we do this. And so, it is a smart thing to follow this program on your smartphone. And we greatly encourage you to do that. Another cool thing you can do, this is so awesome. I just did this a couple days ago, just to see how well I did one of the times. I went back and listened to one of the episodes from September. I dealt with some things, including when I dealt with the national anthem. But here's an example. You can go back and you can go back and see the episodes we've done. We've sang some songs about biscuits and gravy and some stuff like that before that we're still working on perfecting. Someday we'll get there. But not there yet. Someday we'll get there. But, yeah, you can follow us on that show, on that link, and then you'll know when we're going to do our show. Now, so you're thinking, I follow the show, I've listened to some of the episodes. Or even if you haven't and you're a first-time listener, you can be a caller. We'd love to have some callers. Absolutely love to have some callers. We have a phone number where you can call into the show. That telephone number is 215-383-3810. Again, that's 215-383-3810. You'll press 1, and after you press 1, you'll go to a call screener. You'll get into us, come into us, and we'll talk to you. We can talk about anything on the show in general. We can talk sports. We can talk about faith. We can talk about football. We can talk about the holidays. Even if it's a complaint, something you wish was different, maybe I wish I didn't have to buy all these gifts I had to buy. Whatever. But it could be anything. We have one exception. We do not do politics on the show. There's other shows you can listen to that can give you that, like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck. We want to be a program that is a uniter, not a divider. We try to have fun. We try to breed hope. And the way we feel is that when we talk politics on the show, it doesn't breed life. So we don't do that. We do fun football. Anything else you want to talk about? But no politics. If you do want to talk politics, the one advice I would give you is this. We're not going to talk about the politics, but I will still advise you. You know what you can do? You can pray for your leaders. You need to pray for your leaders. So you have a certain person who is in office, you don't like them, pray for them. And then maybe if it's just your heart not being right, pray for your heart, pray for yourself. We should always be praying for our leaders. The Bible actually tells us to pray for those who have authority over us. And that, my friend, is your only politics for tonight. That's it. And then that's to call in. So the agenda for tonight basically looks like this, in case you're just joining us. We're going to open up with a word of prayer right after I give this agenda. We're going to do the word of prayer. We're going to read the chapter on faith again, Hebrews 11. We're going to continue on our journey through Genesis and Jacob, Joseph's family. I'm going to exhort a bit on what I read or whatever God is leading me towards. And then we're going to do a great Christmas tonight. Then we're going to do our sports. And I got a bunch of stuff to get to tonight. I have some surprises from the high school games. I have the game I was at. I have some others. NFL, we had college football. I got college basketball to get to. A little bit of Pistons stuff. One game. And then a little bit, one quick bulletin on Doug Pfister, who had been a former Tiger pitcher. He got traded to a team. All of that will be coming up in a bit as the sports segment of the show takes us all over the road. With that, I shall open up with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great show tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for that you just bless us, redeem our time for me and Preacher Man and everyone who's made this possible, and just redeem our time. And Lord God, more importantly than that, I pray for these listeners who are listening to this broadcast. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that these listeners learn something. They are enlightened. They are charged, like, to go forward. They can say, I feel ready to move ahead. I feel ready to do what I need to do for God. I just pray that you bless the listeners, those who tune into this tonight. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon them. I pray, Lord God, that your hand is upon me. And Lord God, I claim that the rest of this money for this great equipment comes in. And I just pray that sponsorships, that you would line up great sponsors, Lord God, whether it be small businesses like window washers, or dry cleaners, dentists, whether it be McDonald's, could be the Lions, the Tigers, whoever. We just think, Lord God, that it would be in your will. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, before we get in the word, I am going to do one thing here, and that is this commercial. Folks, this segment of the show is brought to you by McDonald's custard pies that are available for a limited time only. Here on the holidays, these are my favorite pies at McDonald's, and not necessarily my favorite. I'm not saying it's not my favorite, but there's some other products that I like just as much, I feel like. They are one of my favorite McDonald's items. You have the pie crust, and you have all that great custard in the middle. White custard is so delicious. You can grab two for a special price, depending on the McDonald's location you choose, as prices may vary by location. For example, at the McDonald's I'm at here at 1711 South Saginaw, you can get two of these bad boys for $1.19 plus tax. Which, if you ask me, is not bad. Or you can get one for just 69 cents, which is still pretty good. It'd go even better if we had Christmas music on right now, but we'll get to that in a bit. I don't know. Finish this up. Then I'm going to quit dilly-dallying and get right into the word. And speaking of the word of God, speaking of the word of God, we have a great conference this week at Living Word Church. Mark Buckley Ministries is the 2017 Leadership Conference. And you're thinking, oh, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. That means I'm not a leader. Wrong. That's wrong. Here's the idea. If you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're a head of a household and you just got maybe some roommates, you're a leader. If you own a business, you're a leader. If you are the, maybe not the owner, but you're one of the bosses at a workplace, you're a leader. But spiritually speaking, you know, if you're the head of a house and you want to raise a good spiritual family, any Christian really, you should be at this leadership conference on Wednesday, November the 29th, to Friday, December 1st. Schedule goes like this. We have pre-service prayer on Wednesday night at 6:15. We have service. There's a service Thursday morning at 10:30. And then we have prayer at 6:15 p.m. on Thursday night, service at 7. And then Friday is exactly the same as Thursday. 10:30 morning service, 6:15 evening prayer, and 7 o'clock service. And, yeah, we have this great conference. You can go to marktbarclay.com for information about this conference as far as who's going to speak, what's going to happen, what to expect. And it's really good. I would really encourage you to go, because leadership is important and we really need good leadership in these final days. Now, I am going to open up the word and see what has to be said about faith, all this faith stuff. You're thinking, what's all this faith stuff? Well, the Bible with me and you'll find out. And by the way, if I open the Bible, you open it. If I sing a spiritual song, you sing it with me. Like, clap for some reason, you clap. We want you to participate with us. This is more than just a little show. We want you to participate with us. So, that's how we do. And without further ado, here we go. Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it reads like this. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certainty of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is made was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. My pastor, Mark Barclay, talked about a bit yesterday. Abel was commended as a righteous man, and God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though Abel was dead. And by faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death, even though he was... he could not be found because God had taken him away. And after he had been taken, he had been taken away. He was commended as one who pleased God. But without faith, it isn't possible to please God. It's impossible, because anyone who comes to Him must first believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family, and by his faith he condemned the world, and he became heir with the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same, for he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So from this one man, and he was as good as dead, and there was as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless and the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking forward to a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, figuratively speaking. He did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. But by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. They fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she was welcomed spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There we go. That's what you got to think about, you know, if you believe in God for something. We here, all of us who are alive right now, we're a great cloud of witnesses. Those of us who believe in God, we're all a great cloud of witnesses here. And So now the continuation of Joseph and Jacob, and we go to Genesis 45. So here we go. We're going to Genesis 45. Praise God. See. And this is where he's going to make himself known. Now Joseph could no longer control himself because all of his attendants, and he cried, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household even heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that from God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to persevere. And you can remain on earth and to save your lives to a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but it was God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now, hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen and be near me, and your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all your that belong to you will come destitute. You can see with yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen. And bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, and he wept. He was weeping right around the neck of Joseph. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. When The news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come. Sorry, folks, I'm just turning the page. Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this. Load your animals and return to the land of Canaan and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this. Take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. And never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours." So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded. So he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." So they went up out of Egypt, and they came to their father, Jacob, in the land of Canaan. They told him, "Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt." Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, "I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and I will see him before I die." This is pretty cool stuff, if you ask me, this idea. You see, Jacob had no idea that his son, Joseph, was still alive. A previous time, first time he went to buy food, they went to go get food from Egypt. Jacob didn't believe his sons when they told him, "He's still alive. He's still alive." You know, he didn't believe him. And then this time, at first, they don't believe him. And then they say, "You know, yeah, he wants us to come. And we can have the best of the land. We can have the best of everything. We can have, like, we could say nowadays, this would be like us being told, you know, we can have the best clothing. We can have the best steaks, the best desserts, the best of everything, the best Coca-Colas, you know, the best, coldest, and most well-carbonated and sweetened Cokes you could ever enjoy, with every flavor you could want. Chocolate Coke if you want, peanut butter Coke, like anything you could want." It's almost like he was told, not quite like heaven, but you can have the best of the land. You can have the best of what we have in Egypt. And there was still 5 more years of famine. And pretty amazing. they had favor with their brother. They had favor with their brother. At first, in our previous chapter, Joseph had a hard time believing that they were his brothers. And they told him the truth and all that, and they give him, he gives them the stuff and everything else, you know. So much of this Jacob story and the story of Joseph and that is about favor. And like that, there's a passage of scripture in the New Testament where we talk about Joseph and Mary and Jesus and all that, and we talk about how we have favor with God and man. And it's pretty cool. And as I begin to teach on Christmas over the next several weeks, what will happen is in a couple of weeks, in about, I'll say starting like the last 2 weeks or so before Christmas, I'll be talking about all that. It'll be Jesus' birth. One of them is going to be, what did he come to do for us? And there'll be pretty cool stuff. You'll be welcome to join us. And so it's going to be great. But anyhow, back to the word of the night. You see, Joseph's family, I mean, you know, they gave Benjamin so much more than they did the other brothers. I think there's other reasons besides just the fact that he was the youngest or that he was the son of Rachel. I think there's so much more to this. We may not know all of the reasons why Benjamin got so much more stuff. He got 5 times the amount of food at the banquet. He got 5 sets of clothes instead of one. He got extra silver. And he had that divination cup in his sack. You know? And all this crazy stuff. And we'll never know why, but we know that. I totally feel like there's a reason. We may not know why. It'd be cool to find out, though. And the jury's out on the reasons, but maybe some scholars know. it'd be nice if the Bible would have told us why he got so much more, but it doesn't. And Jacob did love Joseph more than all his other children. And again, why, we don't know. But it's some pretty cool stuff, you know, when you think about Jacob and the stuff and what his family went through, and now they get to come to Goshen and live near Joseph, who is now the king of all of Egypt. He went from having his coat ripped, being sold as a slave, put in jail, prison, to being the head of the prison, then being released, then suddenly he becomes ruler of all of Egypt. It's like, that's a miracle in itself. How he was like going from treated as a nobody to all of a sudden having all this authority. And over the course of time, that's what happened. He just had so much favor with God. He believed God. He was obedient to God's commands. Can I say he was perfect? No. Nobody on earth is perfect. Oh, even Moses, who you can think was great. He was told to speak to the rock, but he strikes it twice. And, you know, but you want to ask, if you want to think about, you know, how can I get favor with God? One thing you have to do is you got to ask him for favor. You got to say, Lord God, I claim that you give me favor. I claim that I have favor everywhere I go, with you and with me. And all these people, like Moses, Joseph, and all Jacob, all these people had favor with God. They believed God for it. Also, another big thing they did is generally they were obedient. If you're disobedient to God all the time, you're not going to have favor with God. That doesn't mean he won't love you. You just won't have the same level of favor with God as one of those people who are very obedient to God and are following his command. As you continue to obey God, what's going to happen is you're going to find that you'll have more and more favor, and God will use you. He'll use you as a minister. He'll use you as a business owner. He'll use you in your workplace. He'll use you wherever he wants to use you. But in order to be God using you, you have to be being obedient to him. This obedience is really important. And just because you go to church every time the door is open, and you may never have even thought about skipping a service before. What I mean is like when you're not out of town. You know, you might have never thought about it. You know, we all have these times where maybe we don't want to go, but we still choose to go to church or whatever. Not necessarily talking about that, you know, but going to church is a good part. But there's things, you know, if God is calling you to the mission fields and you're not going, or God's calling you to preach and you're not doing it, or God's calling you step into the ministry of singing or something else and you're not doing it, if God's calling you telling you all the time, go. If he keeps telling you every day or every other day, oh, there's these people outside, go over here, pray for them. You know he's saying it. Maybe you don't know, but you're not doing it. If you're going to constantly disobey him, you're not going to have so much favor with God. Even if you go to church all the time. That being obedient to God is so important. You have to, one, find the call of God on your life. Two, you have to obey it. And I'm not talking about a certain call. I'm talking about obeying God. I mean, I'm talking about having favor and how you can get that favor. And the two big ways, like I said, one of those big ways is to ask God for the favor. Just believe in God, you know, or claim that In your name, Jesus, I claim that I have favor everywhere I go, with you and with man. Also, you really have to obey God. If you're not obeying him, and if you have all the sin in your life and all this, all this open sin, all this other stuff, all this junk, all the time that you're doing, all this unforgiveness, all this stuff like that, if you're dealing with all that kind of stuff, you're not going to find favor with God that much. So, one, you got to ask God for the favor. Two, you have to obey God. Three, you got to stay clean. God said, I want come before me with clean hands and a pure heart. No, we're not talking about your hand washing in the bathroom, but we're talking purity. So you just got to be pure before God. That means you're not dealing with all this open sin. You're not dealing with all this unforgiveness and all this other stuff. You're not dealing with all this booze and all these addictions. And if you are, you'd be asking God, if I were you, I'd be asking God to deliver me if I had all this stuff. But that is how you can get, favor of God. Joseph type favor. Because Joseph had all this favor, and then he gave favor to his brothers. So Joseph's brothers found favor in Joseph and God. Joseph's brothers and father had favor. And it was just awesome. And so, Lord God, I just thank you for those who are listening. I thank you, Lord God, that we have your favor. I thank you, Lord God, that you help us to obey you. You help us to hear your voice. And I claim that you'd be with us, whatever we do, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, all this favor stuff, all the stuff I've been talking to you about faith and all that the last couple months, it's not going to work for you unless you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior into your life. The Bible says you must be born again. You must be born again. You have to. You want to go to heaven at the end of your life, you have to have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Was having a clean and I never smoked a cigarette. I might not went to church, but is everything else okay? Doesn't matter. You have to have known Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. What's going to happen if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? It could be like that parable of Jesus on the wedding day of the guy coming up to the door. Hello? And Jesus says, hello there. So a wedding. Am I not invited to this wedding? Jesus says, I never knew you. I never knew you. And by the way, you're an evildoer. Get away from me. And then he shuts the door. That's essentially what will happen. is where you might be thinking we're going to get to go. And then rapture happens or you die. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to go straight to hell if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The only exception to that is if you're like less than the age of accountability. And that could be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't know the exact age. It's different when different kids. But once you're above that age, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you die, you're going to hell forever, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Don't be that person, please. I beg of you, if you're listening to this program and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you do know him, but you've walked away, you've kind of ran astray from him, you can call that special number of ours. You can call 215-383-3810. And you can press 1, you'll go to the screener, and you'll get through to us. We'll help you through that sinner's prayer. And we can get you on a great, powerful journey that you've never had before. And so powerful. And I'm so glad to be born again. Let alone to be alive, but I'm so happy that I'm born again. You know, I might have not been exactly a former Mark Barclay. You know, but like Mark Barclay, my pastor, before he gave his life to Christ, he was crazy. He joined the Marines actually for the wrong reasons, because he wanted to stab and shoot people. But he didn't want to go to jail. But through the Marines, he learned respect and all that. But then once he gave his life to Christ, you know, later on he found that God called him to the preaching ministry. And his life's never been the same ever since. But for me, I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was very little. Now, that doesn't mean that there were some things I didn't have to be freed from. There was. When I was like 11 years old, fifth grade, in my elementary school, I had severe behavior problems. Many times, my mom would get a call from my elementary school. Go pick your son Rivers up. He's being very bad today. Go pick your son up. Julie, go pick your son up. Julie, your son's suspended for 3 days. And by the way, please go pick him up. And for about a year or so, it was very rough. I was having constant behavior problems. It was not pretty. I threw a microwave. I did some other things that I'm not proud of. I never went to jail, or got arrested, but that doesn't mean it was pretty. It wasn't. But through the grace of God, I got delivered from that stuff. And he can deliver you from your stuff, too. From your heavy-duty struggles, whether it be substance abuse, whether it be, you know, unruly behavior, whether it be whatever it is causing all this stuff. You can ask God, and he can help you with all that stuff. And, you know, So much to be grateful for. I'm so glad that he would save someone like me. No. I'm going to sing for you a very special Christmas song. All these songs are special in their own ways. This is one I know you know, and if you know the song, I know that you'll want to sing along, and I would encourage you to do so. And so, here we go. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, the fire's slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kissed goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Never shall stand to stop me. And I bought some corn for popping. And since there's no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. If you really hold me tight, all the way warm I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. And the lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. You know, it may not be the most spiritual song ever, but it is something to look forward to, as, you know, December 1st is Thursday, and based on meteorology, there's astronomical seasons and there's meteorological seasons. Before I get into what I want to do next, which is sports, I will take a minute and I will educate you on the differences. Here we go. I'm going to start with what is coming up first. The astronomy or astrology, you know, the one who determines like astrological seasons, their belief is that seasons, they kind of base it based on the solstices. According to them, they believe, astrology believes, that winter begins on the winter solstice, which will be on the 21st or 22nd of December this year. So about 3 days before Christmas. So, while that is proven to be the shortest day of the year in terms of daylight, it does not necessarily mean that it is the day of the coldest temperatures. And we look at temperatures in mid-January. Early to mid-January is actually the coldest. So, generally, it works like this. The idea of astronomical seasons is the idea that these seasons will generally start, generally it's like this, winter will start on December 21st or 22nd, spring equinox will be on March 21st, summer solstice will be on June 21st, and then fall equinox will be on September 21st. Now, in the field of meteorology, they view it differently. This is a bit different, but similar. And it goes like this. Okay. According to meteorology and National Weather Oceanic and Atmospheric Association and meteorologists, here's how they see this. Winter goes from December 1st to the end of February. Spring, March 1st to 1st to end of August. Fall, September 1st back to the end of November, the 30th, which is, this is the 28th right now, so based on them, we only have 2 days of fall. Now, the idea of the seasons, you can take it for a grain of salt if you want. Snow is going to come to Michigan when it's going to get to Michigan. Whether it's before Christmas, whether it's after Christmas, I don't know. And by the way, this idea of have a holly jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow. There's a meaning behind that. We don't know if there'll be snow. For up here even. Will it even snow by Christmas? I don't know. But even in Florida, they don't know either, and here's why. Miami, for example, had just a little trace of snow. It either hit the ground or it was just a little flurry on like the 25th of Christmas in like the late 80s, one of the years in the late 80s, as far south as Miami. Yeah, just a tiny bit. That's the one time they ever had any. But it didn't stick to the ground or nothing. So for everyone else, it's kind of a guessing game. If you're way up north, even more up north, like far north Minnesota or something, it's more than likely you will have had snow of some kind for Christmas. But that's just an idea of the seasons and just to get us ready for the season. That's why I picked Let It Snow for the song of tonight. What am I gonna do tomorrow? You'll have to listen to tomorrow's show to find out what my Christmas song is gonna be. And sometimes I'm gonna sing them. Other times I might sing a comedy Christmas song that is, I might play or sing a comedy Christmas song that has been written and sung. And it could be a satire. You don't know. Like, it could be a satire to, like, the 12 Days of Christmas or Most Wonderful Time of the Year. As there have been some satires made to those that I think are pretty funny stuff. But that's a bit on what's to come for Christmas time programming on the show. Now, we go into the world of sports, and we begin with da 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 da. That's right, we are starting with football. Now, this football weekend was significant for all three levels of football that I follow. But, so therefore, I could have had a good choice of whether I started with high school, college, or pro. But I chose to begin with pro football. So, here we go. We begin on the pro football side with Thursday night. Thursday, you had the Detroit Lions taking on the Minnesota Vikings. I said Detroit was going to win. In all honesty, how are you going to win when you're down 20-3 at halftime? How are you going to win when you fumble the ball and have a lost fumble? Sometimes you're not going to be able to do the fourth quarter comeback successfully. The Lions had to deal with that. They were down by a good amount going into that fourth quarter. They could not finish it off as the Vikings beat them 30-23. Stafford threw a pick with about a minute left to go. That kind of sealed the deal for Minnesota. Minnesota now 9-2. Lions, they are 6-5. Next, in the other game, key game of Thursday, you had the Cowboys and the Chargers of Los Angeles in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. I thought the Cowboys were going to win this one. I'm going to do it again because I was really surprised. I said that Dallas would win and it would be like 31-21. And man, I don't know what happened. 27-6. Cowboys fall to the Chargers. Cowboys are now 5-6. Outside looking in. So not doing so well. They're missing Zeke. He's sitting out that suspension, but Prescott even threw an interception, a pick six of 80 yards, and took it into the end zone and the defense of the Chargers ended up taking it back all the way to the end zone for the Chargers. And that's part of what sealed the game. Also, the Cowboys did have a touchdown called back, so that's two straight games of no touchdowns by the Cowboys. And you're not going to win in the NFL if you do that. Now we have yesterday's games. Well, the Saints lost. That kind of surprised me. Chiefs lost to the Bills. They've lost 5-6. Patriots win. Steelers barely beat the Packers. 31-28, field goal kick, no time left. Browns 0-11. Bengals win. Titans win. Atlanta is victorious, as is Seattle. Bears got blown out. Carolina. Yep, Carolina is a winner yesterday. San Fran lost again. So I pretty much covered like the main games. So what do I think about the playoffs? Well, as everybody has now played 11 games, here's what I see. You have the NFC South is kind of close. I refuse to make a call on that NFC South right now. As outside of Tampa Bay, it's up for grabs. 7-4, 8-3, 8-3. And that is Falcons, Panthers, and Saints, respectively. I would have picked the Saints to win the AFC South, NFC South, but they lost yesterday. That doesn't mean they won't win it. All it does is make the NFC South harder to call because Carolina and Atlanta are getting hot and they got to continue to play each other. I'm sure pretty soon you're going to see another meeting of Carolina-New Orleans or Carolina-Atlanta. And I think that's what it's going to come down to, is who can win all those games. And right now, I don't know. But the NFC South is anybody's ballgame. Now, let's talk about NFC North. For the NFC North, I think I could have counted the Lions in, possibly. I mean, more likely, if they would have beaten the Vikings on Thursday, which I predicted they would have done, but they didn't do it. So, now, it's looking a little bit more likely that the Vikings are going to take the first place in that division, and we will probably be second. Green Bay 3, Chicago 4. NFC East, Eagles. Eagles will probably have won that division if they win again next week. Basically, that's how I feel. NFC West, what do I think? NFC West, Rams. Actually, the Rams were the ones who beat the Saints. It was the Rams. And so it would be the Rams, not the Seahawks, but the Rams would be your division winner in the NFC West, I believe. Let's go to AFC. AFC South, generally you have a choice of Jacksonville or Tennessee. One of those two is going to win it. Which one? I don't know. AFC East, I have to look and I have to say with true honesty, Patriots. That's the true great team I see in that division is the Patriots. Bills are kind of struggling a bit, and so I see it being Patriots. Now let's look at the AFC North. What I see there is that'll be Baltimore or Pittsburgh. AFC West, well, Chargers not doing so well, but they've been in some games. They're 5-6, so they're not terrible. What? Well, they're 5-6. You also have to look at the Raiders, who aren't terrible. And then the Chiefs are kind of on hard times. And then, oh, the Broncos. The AFC West right now, I would kind of call that the AFC worst. And here's why. The Chiefs aren't, they're either one game over 500 or one game under. Broncos are under 500. They're not winning that division for sure. They're 4-7. Chargers, they could. And Raiders, well, for the Raiders, it's possible, but who knows if they'll be able to do it. So the NFC West, even though there's AFC West, even though there's no true contenders in it, and they are either one game above 500 or one game and one below 500, it's still kind of close. So it'll depend on who wins the most games between now and then in the AFC West. Now let's go to college football. And only, I ended it kind of early. I did not finish the song for a reason. And here's why. Michigan was leading for much of the Michigan-Ohio State game. Michigan was ahead 14-0 at one point. And then they were up 20-14. But Ohio State comes back down the field. Touchdown Buckeyes. Score again. 20 and in. They get essentially 19 unanswered points. I mean, 17 unanswered points as Michigan loses to Ohio State for a sixth year in a row, 31-20. I had said it would have been 35-21 and or 35-20. Actually, I said 36-20. So I was kind of close, but not exactly. But I give myself credit even though Michigan lost because I thought I called the score pretty close. Quarterback Barrett of Ohio State had to be taken out of the game. So the backup quarterback came in, and when the backup quarterback came in, they started rolling. Ohio State did. Other news, Michigan news. Will Fate has announced that he will be transferring to another school for next season. So we will be minus Fate at Michigan. We finished the season at 9-4. Do not make the playoff. I was thinking maybe 11-2 for the season, but nope, 9-4. So that is the end of regular season football for Michigan. They will probably play in the Holiday Bowl. For Ohio State, they have to get to take on Wisconsin on Saturday in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium to see who can make it. Wisconsin, here's how I feel about Wisconsin. Wisconsin did not have as tough of a schedule as Ohio State did. Wisconsin didn't have to play in Oklahoma. They didn't have to play Penn State. Some schools like that Ohio State had to play. Ohio State beat Penn State last minute. Nonetheless, they still beat them. So if Ohio State can beat Wisconsin, and I think they can, you have to argue that they deserve a ticket to the playoff. I would argue that they would make it into the playoff, and I hope other people would agree with me, those who vote on these, who gets in. Michigan State did win their final regular season game of the year as well. Now we move on to the Iron Bowl in Auburn, Alabama, where the Auburn Tigers win the Iron Bowl, and they win it by the score of 38-26. 34-21 as number 6 Auburn beats number 1 Alabama to earn the right to the SEC championship game, as they will take on one-loss Georgia. Winner of Auburn-Georgia SEC championship game will likely make the playoff. I'm looking forward to this Auburn-Georgia game and to this Ohio State-Wisconsin game to see quite possibly who will get to watch on New Year's weekend. And sorry, Michigan. Sorry that Michigan will be unable to make the playoff. Maybe next year. We'll see what Harbaugh decides to do with his team. I have confidence. He's a good Michigan man. I think he can do it. I think he can get those freshmen to step up. I think good times are ahead for Michigan. But that's what you have for college football, is you have the championship games generally this weekend. Let's do high school football. This weekend in Michigan was the culmination of much great hard work by the high school football athletes of this state. And it was culminated with a trip to Ford Field. For some teams, at the end of that game, they were awarded a trophy that meant, you know, that they had won a state championship. For the other teams, they ended as runner-ups. We begin with Division One in a game that I was at live and actually sent some tweets at. You had Clarkston Wolves taking on the West Bloomfield Lakers. Your final there, 3-2. 3-2. Literally a baseball score. 3-2. Clarkston over West Bloomfield. I knew Clarkston could win. They would. They did. I was very happy about that. But I was hard. It was still kind of hard for me to believe that it was still only 3-2. And that's 28 punts combined between the two teams is the most in history of an MHSAA finals game. We go to Division II, where we had De La Salle over Livonia Franklin, 34-7. Division III, you had Muskegon over Farmington Hills Harrison, 28-10. Division IV, you had Swan Valley loses 34-7. Saginaw Swan Valley, a team from around here. Division V, you had, no, excuse me, I got that wrong. Division IV was, I forgot Division IV. Division V was that Swan Valley losing. Yes, that was Division V. That was the game after the one I was at. Division VI, Ithaca loses. They lose to a Grand Rapids West Catholic. Division VII, Poimiel Westphalia is your winner there over Saugatuck, 28-0. And then finally, Division VIII, Nouvelle loses to Ottawa Lake Whiteford. So great work by all of the high school football athletes this year. I was pretty encouraged by what I saw at that game. Generally, it was great sportsmanship by the fans, by the players. I thought it was just an overall positive experience. I had a lot of fun. I'll certainly be back to the back there next year for a game, and maybe more than one of the games. We'll see. But I thought it was a great game. I think the weekend was a great success, and congratulations to those who won, especially in my case, the Clarkson Wolves, who I'm a big fan of, as my parents live there now. Not just because my parents live there. The reason I like Clarkson is because I feel like they have an exceptional football program, like Midland does. So to Clarkson, congrats to Kurt Richardson and all the players who made this great season possible. Josh Cantu, Michael Fugel, all the other great seniors who are graduating. Good luck on your future endeavors. Thanks to next basketball season. I plan to at least be at one of their games, like if it's a Friday night. I plan to be there for them as they won a state championship this past year. They ranked number 9 in the country. I think they could win another one. I'd love to see that. And I enjoy high school sports a lot. It brings a lot of people together. The tickets aren't that expensive. And it's just fun. A lot of times, even at basketball, a lot of times you have the band before the game starts sometimes. Not every game, but a lot of times. As the high school basketball season starts up again, because I'm from around here, the Midland area, for the regular season, it will be on the Midland and Dow teams when that starts, which it will start at the end of next week, I believe, is both Midland and Dow's first games. And so that's going to be great. Speaking of basketball, you had Michigan State all over North Carolina, 84-67. They really walloped number 9, North Carolina. They did a good job. If they can do that, I think this team could really go some places to maybe a Final Four or maybe win a championship or something great. So that's just great. I'm proud of Michigan State. I'm proud of Michigan State basketball. I think they got great things going for them. And Santa Claus, if you're listening, I would like some Michigan State tickets to one of the basketball games. I really think that'd be fun. But anyhow, yeah, Michigan State doing it. Great job tearing it up. Michigan all over. University of California, Riverside, 94-57. Pistons play tonight on the road. Red Wings, they play tonight too. And then NFL game of the night. Let me ask you. What is the NFL game tonight?
The Texans take on the Ravens at 8:30 p.m.
Folks, tonight, your Monday night football game of the week is Texans versus Ravens. Texans started off promising, have really wavered a bit. I don't want to have to do this. I feel like I have to. I have to pick the Ravens over the Texans, and I feel like it's going to be 27-17. So, again, your final pick for the score of tonight's game is Ravens over Texans 27-17. And then your Red Wings play tonight. They had a little bit of a rough stretch lately with some losses. I'll be letting you know once the bowl games are announced as to what bowl games Michigan and Michigan State get. And then a baseball story. One of our former standout Detroit Tiger players, Doug Fister, has been traded, or was that in, I believe it was Washington or Boston. He is now going to be the Rangers for at least a year, the Texas Rangers. So you'll have Verlander in Houston playing with the Astros, and then you'll have Fister up in the Dallas area, Arlington more specifically, in Texas. So that means, in a way, in addition to being the Tigers fan, I am also a Astro fan and a Rangers fan. But just a little bit of an update on someone I know, those of us who are great Tigers fans, who had such fun a few years ago when we did that World Series run, even though we lost, and we won the American League Central Championship 4 years in a row when we had. And Adam Fister, just wanted you to know where he is now. So, folks, I want to remind you of something that I felt like I should have earlier when I was talking about faith. For those of you who are still thinking about what to get, you're thinking about whether or not you'll be able to afford it. God's a provider. He can provide. You can say, my mom used to do this all the time when me and Ray were little. She still does it now because she wants to be able to give us great things, and and my mom would say, I claim that in Jesus' name, we're going to have a great Christmas this year. A great Christmas doesn't have to mean you buy a lot of gifts or you buy big gifts. A great Christmas can just mean the family's going to be home and it's just going to be a great couple days around Christmas. It could mean that. It could mean being able to buy good gifts too and what have you. Who knows what it could mean? That to say, you believe in God if you want more money for Christmas, what you got to do is just believe God. You just believe God. And if you're getting ready to go to the store, if you're getting ready to go online to buy some stuff or go to the store, a great thing to do can be to pray that you get great sales, deals, rebates, and it'll work for you in the name of Jesus. So I just thought I should hit you with that before I close. Now, a reminder that Wednesday the 29th of November through Friday the 1st of December is the National Leadership Conference, Fort Donut Living Word Church, 2010 North Stark Road, marktbuckley.com for information. And until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody. I will see you all tomorrow. When we sign off?
All done?
Yep, gotta sign off.
Right up front. Looks like you have 16.